And then they tried to make you an official site, but there appears to be some sort of hang-up there. So I haven't heard back yet, and I'm going to try to make some more contact before the end of the day to see what we can do about getting about getting that change. The other part is I was asked about a PC for the room. There is an internet connection in the room. If the users have a PC, you can plug a PC in here, and they could get to your web page. But I don't have a PC in the room currently.
Okay,
so we'll see if we can get a PC somehow, but we may also just go with the option of printing out the notes, the hard copies, and each person can bring their own set to the lectures. Everyone wants that. But we'll see if we can easily get a PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about the document camera? Is that possible?
Well, the document camera does not quite have the resolution to really use as a tool to go through the material, you know, as we go through the course. Now, to read regular writing, I have to zoom in so much that you see only a rather small fraction of the page at a time, and then it also means that I have to continuously move my document, which then means that, which then implies that the way PictureTel works, it takes quite a while before the video signal gets into a steady setting again. You know, the way that PictureTel...
Yeah, no, I understand the problems with doing... I don't know how much material you had. I always tell my users here, I try to go with 14-point or 16-point type, you know, and keep the text large and not very much on a page for that reason. That's not actually a resolution of the document camera, per se. That's the resolution of the video bandwidth that you're transmitting end-to-end. The camera's a very high resolution, actually. It's the video bandwidth that's getting killed from point to point. That's really where the problem comes in. But, okay, I understand that. If it is going to be multiple users, it may be better if they each print out their own copy anyway, because if they have a PC in here, they're going to be trying to stare at, you know, a particular screen, which may not be convenient.
Right. Yeah, I guess I basically agree. Now, it might be useful to have a PC there. I mean, if you can do it with reasonable effort, it might be useful to have one there in case we discuss particular aspects, for example, a homework problem, or, you know, we jump to one, you know, particular piece of information that exists on the web but not on your printout. So maybe the route of having your local printouts and the PC, that would be probably the ideal thing, you know, if you can do it reasonably. So... Of course, I have a notebook here.
What I can
here.
See is if one of the people here has a laptop, you know, I don't know if anybody taking the class has one, that's probably the easiest thing, is just bring the laptop in and plug it in each time, as opposed to leaving a system in here.
Yeah, I believe that's probably true. So, you know, a notebook certainly is a useful way of doing this.
We have loaners.
So now, about our...
I couldn't guarantee we'd be here every week.
Okay, so I leave that, of course, up to you, and you know, we'll see how all that goes.
I have your email address attached to all the forms there and your number. So as soon as I find out what's going on out there at Livermore, I'll give you a call. I mean, in the meantime, it doesn't hurt. It's not really. I mean, we can work as this guest port. Obviously, we are working. It hurts me because my users, when they look at the web page for my room now, the room's going to appear to be free when it's not. And I'm not the only person who technically handles this room. And we typically just look at the web page to know what's happening each day. And if it's not on there, the person who's taking over the video that day or week may not realize it's a conference at all and even show up here to set it up. That's what I'm concerned about.
I see.
Not the fact that it technically won't work. I mean, it works. As you can see, it's going to work fine. But the fact that it'll work better, speaking to Rick, I'm coming in at a different audio algorithm. That's the reason we were dropping Berkeley out. It's actually Brookhaven's algorithm that's inconsistent, and I have to make a change, but I didn't want to do that until after the conference because they would have had to tear everything down, everybody hang up, I would have had to restart. It just wasn't worth it. So hopefully next time we converse, the audio and video quality should be superior to what you see today.
I see. That sounds good. Yeah. So, of course, to fix this problem that you were mentioning of the just the mere scheduling of your room, one could just for the whole term, you know, put in a separate booking that just freezes your room. That is something that I could do from my end. Otherwise, unfortunately, my means are very limited about this scheduling because of this bug that you mentioned. So perhaps, maybe if it's okay with you,
I can do that from this end also. But I'd rather, I'm trying not to, you know, I'd like to try to do it kind of the right way. Let's see if they can fix your account.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we'll run the way it is, and I will book, this week. It starts this week?
Yes, in fact, we start tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow. So we're going to go for that for this week, and I will book my room, and I will say in the comments section to view CID number, and I'll list the conference ID number for those two for this week. In the meantime, I'll see if they cannot get your account working. And then once the account's working, then we can worry about changing the ones from that from there forward.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. So then if you could, as you indicated, talk to the VCS people about it again, then, you know, that would help. So I feel a little bit bad. I have been probably exchanging in the order of 20 phone calls with them in the last days, and I could imagine that they perceive me now as, you know, somebody that takes a lot of their time. So,
they're just in a really tough situation right now. They're trying to move the equipment from one facility to the other. They're trying to bring up some new equipment. They have a lot of new people. Not many people from Livermore came with them to Berkeley because the bridge is still at Livermore. But they're physically, the people are at Berkeley, so they're remote controlling the device also, which makes for some difficulties. So they're going through a tough time right now. So that's part of the reason there was, you know, some of these problems exist, and we're hoping that this gets worked out very soon. I said I'll converse back with you via email or phone as soon as I know what's going on. In the meantime, I'll let you guys get back to your class. I have to run off to something else as well, and
okay.
We'll take this offline.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So thank you very much,
okay, Mark.
And I appreciate your
You're
help.
Welcome.
Okay, so we were in the middle of, let's see, can people see me over there, or can CBAT see me?
CBAT sees you.
Okay, great. How about Brookhaven?
Fine.
Okay, somehow for me it's a little bit hard to understand whether I'm on the air or not, so I guess as I get more versed with this system here, I'll be able to be more sure here. Okay, in any case, so we were going to talk about this homework system. And so, first of all, now, already now in the course notes or in the course pages, you find some links to this. Also, maybe I should point out now we will use a mechanism to show news pertaining to the class as they happen in a special dedicated file. So if something important happens, we will not only change the web pages, but we will point that out in a special news file to which you can easily link now from the top of our course page. You know, it's much easier to find some change if, you know, at one specific place rather than, you know, checking if the whole document may have changed. Now, in any case, both from the main document as well as from this news area, you can link to the homework system. In case you haven't looked there recently, let me show you the address of this with our document camera. Let's see here. And at the same time, I have to apologize for my terrible handwriting here. So this is http://kappa1.nscl.msu.edu/class.html. Okay, so this is the address of the homework system, and the links are going up. Now, also, all of the registered participants should have received IDs and usernames for this homework system. Now, Betsy, since you just came in now, you don't have that information yet, I suppose, but I assume the others do. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
That's correct.
Okay, good. Also, for the local helpers, we are also setting all these people up, and you should be getting something if you haven't received so yet. We will make a second section for this course for just all the people who are involved in the giving the course for them to play around with these problems. But in any case, let me now show you what such a typical problem set may look like. So if you go to this address, then it asks you for a class name. There's a pull-down menu, and you have to go to Physics 861. And then I believe it says S7, which means Spring 97. And then it asks you for the set number. And currently we have just one set, namely the test problem.
It asks for student number. And
yeah.
Numbers, we have names.
Yes. Also, I'm just being reminded that it asks for a student number. Now, since all you people don't have official MSU student numbers, we used a combination that is easy to remember, made up of your last and first name. You should have received that information also. Am I correct in the assumption that you have received this?
Yes.
Okay. Also, CBAF, can I have some word whether you received that?
This is Joe Grimes. I've received this information. My the Kappa
ID.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the information about Kappa. Okay.
Yeah, we both have.
Okay. Now then, let me show you on the document camera what this looks like. So as you get there, you see something like this, and here it lists my name. Let me maybe zoom in a little bit more. And one can either just go to the problem you want to work on. So you may see there is go to problem 1, 2, 3 and so forth. Or you can get a term summary, or you can exit. Now as you progress through there, in this line that says status here, it will show eventually, you know, what problems you did right and which ones you have not done yet. Now, as we go down on this page, I come here to the first problem. Let me zoom out a little bit. And this first problem here says the MSU physics course number for this course is. And now here you have to input a numerical value. And now the way this system works is there are basically three types of categories of answers. So many of them just require a numerical value, like this one. Others require true-false, as we will see in a minute. But most of these problems are set up in such a way that you know, our main purpose is not to decide whether you are right or wrong. Our main purpose is to make you understand it. And so you have as many tries as you wish to get in the right information. And once you have entered the correct information once, then you get the credit for the problem. Now, of course, should you not know that our course number is 861, you could, if you wanted to, just try out all numbers from 1 through 999, and you would eventually get it. So if you submit a wrong answer, then you get some information here about a previous answer. So you can perhaps read here that I tried once and my previous answer was 101, but this is not physics 101, so here it says, in fact, incorrect. Okay? And then as you proceed, you could try 999. And this would be your trial number 2. 999, trial 2. And again, incorrect. Okay? And then finally, you nail it down and find out that it is, in fact, 861. And then the computer says what it considers the right answer. It says correct. Computer gets 861. So this is one type of problem. Now, the next type of problem is one multiple choice problem with where you select A, B, C, D, E, or F, or whatever. But, of course, in this case, it doesn't make much sense to give you as many trials as you want, because with 5 attempts, you will get it. So in such a case, there will be only one try. And so here, the question is, the name of your main instructor is A, Thomas Jefferson, B, John Hancock, C, Martin Birch, D, Jose Canseco, or E, Newt Gingrich. And so depending on what you put in there, let me see here. Yeah, this is actually what I'm showing you is one of my students who tried to answer this, Bela Erdely. And, you know, there was so much talk on TV recently about lectures by Newt Gingrich. And anyway, he thought, well, this course is via TV, so that's probably it. And he answered E. And so the result here is his answer is incorrect and there are no more tries. Well, certainly I'm doing some lecturing here, but unfortunately they don't pay me nearly half as well as they pay Newt Gingrich for it. And nevertheless, they also don't elect me to any higher office there, so there's certainly big differences here. Okay, and then the third type of problem that we have is actually a multiple true-false. And now let me try to get this in here that one can read it reasonably well. So in this type of problem, it says, for each of the following statements, decide whether it is true or false. Give your answer as a sequence of letters T and F. As an example, if the first statement is true and the others are false, enter T, F, 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 F. Okay? And so basically about each one of these, you have to decide true, false, and then enter. And so the questions here are, A, the letters MSU and MSU Physics 861 denote Moscow State University. B, the letters denote Mississippi State University. C, Michigan State University. Then D, MSU is a Big Ten school. E, MSU is located in East Lansing, Michigan. F, Physics 861 is a course about solid-state physics. And G, the course you're attending is the 100th telecourse given by MSU. Of course, I can't, you know, if I want to be able to show this to you at the proper resolution, I cannot show the whole text of the question right now. So that's one of the cases where having a PC handy is useful. But in any case, so in this case, A and B would be false, C, D, and E would be true, and F and G would be false. So you would answer F, F, T, 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 F, F. Okay? And that's actually also what was answered. And so now this person, Bela Erdely, he got the first problem right, the second problem wrong, and the third problem right. Okay? And so basically you can keep trying as long as you want. We will mostly concentrate on numerical problems and on such true-false problems. In fact, by tomorrow we will have a set of problems dealing with the some summary or some refresher of E and M, and basically all of these are either numerical values or true-false. Now, with the numerical values, I should also say there's always a threshold tolerance that would define what is to be assumed to be a correct problem. So usually if you are within 1%, or sometimes 10 to the minus 3, you supposedly answered the problem correctly. Can I have some comments from Brookhaven? Whether that all sounds reasonable, and whether all this information arrived on the other end?
Yeah, I think that's kind of reasonable. We were having a little side discussion here just over the last couple of minutes, unfortunately, because your picture disappeared, and we saw the CBAF picture, and we weren't sure why that happened. And your picture came back, just past that.
Really?
And we didn't hear anything from CBAF.
Yeah. Well, what we did at CBAF is we, on the PictureTel console, I pressed a little button that shuts the mic off so Mike and I could have a conversation, presumably without interfering with the voice activation. But maybe
yeah,
I have
we saw your conversation. We looked animated, but we didn't hear it, unfortunately.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You want to try a test real quick and see if that happens again?
Should we? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we see you at CBAF. We don't hear you, and we don't see Martin at MSU anymore.
So am I now back?
Now
if I start to talk, am I back at MSU?
Yes, yeah. Now you're back at MSU.
I feel it's strange that's not the intention of the mute button.
So you can't escape it. Big
right.
Brother is watching you, so CBAF, you better behave.
If we mute our audio, our video is transmitted.
So now this homework system at CBAF, is that also reasonably clear what we are doing here? Can I have CBAF now activate themselves?
Everything you said about the homework is very clear.
Now, CBAF, I hear you, but I don't see you. Maybe you haven't put.
No, that's
you haven't.
Odd.
Huh?
You still hear from you don't feel?
Yes. So somehow your voice activation doesn't quite seem to work the way I expect. Let me get you manually. You're probably channel 6.
Yeah.
Let's.
See, I'm here.
No, let's see. You're channel 4.
Do you see CBAF now?
Yes. Now
do
I
have
I
our
just,
voice up.
I switched to you manually. Now I can see you. Okay. So may I ask, has anyone already played around with this homework, with these homework problems, with these test problems? No?
I tried it at CBAF. Yeah, give it a try.
Uh-huh.
It worked fine.
So did you think I was Newt Gingrich?
I pondered that for a little. I was thinking of answering Thomas Jefferson, you know, apropos to our last.
Yeah, in fact, you know, the way I chose these famous people is I tried to a little bit select one person from each of the locations. Of course, Jefferson was in honor of J-Lab, and Jose Canseco was for those people in the Bay Area. And then we had John Hancock. There's the John Hancock Tower in Chicago. And, of course, he's also somewhat connected to Jefferson. But anyway, so that's for Argonne and Fermilab. Now, somehow I wasn't too creative about Brookhaven, so I used, let's see, what did I use for, let's see, what were my problems here? Oh, boy. Well, I guess I kind of subsumized you with Jefferson there. Sorry about that. Oh, no, of course, I mean, no. This was supposed to be Gingrich, but nevertheless, Washington is much closer to Newport News than it is to Brookhaven. So I just put that together in a big hurry. So in any case, now, you know, you may want to play around with these problems and see if you can get used to the system. I want to also now use the opportunity. I have now two more people in the room that are associated with the course. So first of all, there is George Perkins, who is in charge of the MSU Physics Department computer system, and I'd like to introduce him briefly. So I'll try to find him there. So this is George Perkins, and so he has also helped us with several things here. And then on the other hand, we also have Bela Erdeli, who is actually one of the students and simultaneously also somebody who helps me in the course. I'm going to zoom in. This is Bela Erdeli. He's in charge of all the Kappa things. And so he's the master of Kappa, of this homework system. He put in these problems. And he's also participating in the course and will also help us with questions and answers. So, in fact, Bela just only 6 weeks ago arrived from Romania to the United States. So he's still very new here, but got control of that system very quickly. Okay. So what else do we have that pretty much wraps up what I wanted to discuss today? So the material I had today, I'm now through. We have now been online for about an hour and a half. So now, what other things should we discuss? Anything that JLab needs to know?
I think we're pretty much set. We're scheduled for a 9:30 a.m. transmission tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's correct. So tomorrow at 9:30, we will start. Lectures will start at 9:45 with transmission starting at 9:30. Perhaps you can run around at Seabath and drum up the troops there a little bit, if they can be drummed up.
I'll do my best. I'll send out a mailing to all our local participants, and I'll put the information up on our local website, and that's probably the best I can do to reach everyone.
I do know we have some more interest here than just what's shown at this table, because at least a few people were, myself included, were looking for this yesterday. Last week, actually, I think it was.
I see, yeah. In fact, I have, among registered participants, I have at CBAF, a total of maybe 9 people, Jay Banish, Dave Buckle, Joe Grahams, and Michael Johnson, who we had, Mohammed Khayat, Doug Kaltenuk, Kathy McCormack, Philippe Piot, and Riyad Suleiman. So quite a crowd over there. But in any case, we'll see how that goes. Now, about Brookhaven, what is the status in Brookhaven right now? So do we have any more?
From what I understand, I don't have any more questions.
I don't have either.
Okay, we'll plan to be here and hooked up tomorrow morning also at 9:30, and I'll also send out email to the people who I know are interested and remind them about tomorrow, and see how it goes. And we'll try to get a PC, actually. If one of us can get a laptop, if I can, I will, to bring it here. We have an internet connection, but not
okay. Somehow I can't seem to see Brookhaven. I wonder, maybe our whole voice activation system isn't quite working properly right now.
We'll speak again. I'm speaking again here from Brookhaven. Do you see us now?
Well, I can hear you, but I still see CBAP.
Okay.
CBAP can see Brookhaven when they're speaking.
Ha, that's interesting. So maybe we don't have voice activation turned on here. But I don't even know how to do that at this point. So in any case, let's just manually
can also
switch
see
over.
You presently, so.
Okay, so now I just switched over manually and can see you again in Brookhaven. So basically, everything okay and clear in Brookhaven then?
Yes, I think it went very well. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So once the enroll.org And roll.ps, I'm sorry, I have laryngitis, but roll.ps I tried to download and I couldn't, so I just sent you an email. Hopefully
I see.
That's enough to register.
Yeah, basically, yes. Now, this enrollment form anyway, you need mostly if you want to take the course for credit. Are you one of these people or?
Probably not.
Probably not, Yeah, so basically you don't have to worry about the enroll.ps.
Okay.
I'm not sure, somehow there seems to be a general problem with PS files and their downloadability over the web. So I have all kinds of mixed experiences, so it sometimes just doesn't work. And in any case, we will look into this, but if you need this file, we can also...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just more concerned about getting the password for the homework.
Okay.
So
yeah, that you should be able to get just by sending an email to me, which you did. So
okay.
Should be okay.
Okay.
So hopefully by tomorrow you have these. Okay?
Thank you.
So anything else from either CBAF or Brookhaven? If that's not
well,
the case.
Along with the enrollment. It goes along with the enrollment form for people who here at CBAF that have expressed interest in taking the course for credit. Is there anything else you want to tell us now about course requirements for taking it for credit, other than, of course, the form and the Michigan tuition and all that?
Well,
the course that I'm
basically, actually, I didn't really say details about how we would be doing the grading. So the grading is mostly homework. The 25% lowest grades are being dropped for your homework, and then we will see if we will do an online final. Right now I have one penciled in. I'm not sure how feasible that is. If so, the online final would be 25%, but at this point I'm not really sure whether this would work, but in any case, you know, here this is an advanced graduate course that only those people that are interested in the course are taking anyway. And, you know, it's not our intention, you know, to make life difficult here. And so if you want to take it for credit, you know, we'll try to accommodate you in such a way that if you put in reasonable effort, then you get, you know, what you want out of the course. So it's not that... we're trying to be stingy here or make you jump through all kinds of hoops. So, is that enough information, or do you need to know anything else about this matter?
Yeah, it's clear over here, yes.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay, so JLab, final word for today. Anything from Newport News?
Well, I wish you as much sunshine and clear skies as we're having now.
Well, that is certainly appreciated. Okay. Yeah, we wish you a nice snowstorm there so you can do some skiing.
Personally, I'd like to see a little snow, but I don't think we're going to get it too soon.
Yeah. Okay.
But just
good.
A little.
Just a little, huh? Maybe for class tomorrow, I bring in a snowball for everybody to look at. So.
No, thanks. Well, we don't need to see one at Brookhaven.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So then thanks to Brookhaven and JLab, and I guess we will see you tomorrow. Conclude our official transmission then for today. Okay. So bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.